Hey everybody, welcome back to Main Street Mechies. This is Alex, your, host of the day. Usually when I record these, that means that we either have a weird episode or a special episode, and thankfully for you, it is the second one. So I have our plugs in the beginning, and then we will get in because we have a very special guest. But I also have a warning for this episode, but we'll do the plugs first. So, if you're looking to follow us to get any news on the podcast or just general Disney news, you can find us on Main Street Mechies at Instagram. If you're looking for Main Street Mechies merch or just want to rep the rides that we make or anything like that, you can find stickers for the rides that we make as well as some t-shirts and hats on Redbubble.com. Just look up Main Street Mechies at Redbubble.com and you'll find that store. If you love the podcast and you want to help it out and want to help us reach more people, the best way to do that is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps us get in front of more people when they search Disney podcasts or Imagineering podcasts or something like that. That's really the best way to help the podcast out. And if you're looking for a Disney travel agent, I am one. Pretty much what that means is if you are looking for somebody to give you an extra helping hand when booking a Disney vacation or planning a Disney vacation at no extra cost to you, you can have me do your bookings for you, do the research, book your dining, all that like crazy, tedious, or confusing stuff I can do for you. I can wait for you in the early morning queues for those special event tickets. Just kind of knock off some of those things off your list. And like I said, again, it's no extra cost to you. And on top of the booking stuff, you just have somebody in your corner to answer questions and help out and give recommendations and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in that, you can send us a message at MainstreamEckies on Instagram, or you can send us an email at MainstreamEckies@gmail.com. So on to the warning after those very quick plugs. So we had a very special guest on today, Johnny J from the DMSW podcast, graciously joined me to talk about Disney Dads. And after the episode, I realized that my camcorder or my webcam was the mic that the app decided to use on this particular recording. So my audio sounded extremely muffled. Now, I was able to find some AI tools and stuff like that to essentially rebuild my audio, and it sounds pretty decent, in my opinion, but there is still occasionally a spot where the AI wasn't able to recreate my voice super great, or there's a cut or a little bit of warping. Thankfully, Johnny's voice sounds perfect. His mic was inputted correctly. This was purely a me mistake, but the conversation was so great. I couldn't let this episode go, and so please bear with us on the occasional weird audio thing. It won't sound perfectly clear, probably not the level of clarity you're used to from us, but it should sound pretty decent, definitely listenable with just the occasional like weird setting. It'll essentially sound like my mic is just a little bit off, so we appreciate you bearing with us on that. Wow, word vomit. Bearing with us on that, and I promise you the episode itself is worth bearing with it. So without further ado, I'll play the intro and you guys enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Main Street Mechies, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about all things Disney. I am, once again, your, well, kind of solo, Disney Dad 1. That's an engineering joke for anybody who is an engineer that listens to that. Otherwise, this kind of sounds weird. Alex, and I am joined here by a extremely, phenomenally special guest, Johnny J. from the DMSW podcast.
Disney Dad 2 checking in.
Oh, so Johnny, thank you for coming on the show. Noah is currently in a play production, which he added on top of all the other crazy things and busy things that he's doing right now, including like getting married and going on a trip soon. So this is final week, so he should be back with us a little bit more often later down the road. But for this week, Johnny jumped in with me and helped me not do another one of those solo episodes, which I still don't know how you do those every single week.
I was just going to say, what kind of loser would do a solo-hosted podcast? Takes a real madman to try to pull that off.
I felt like I was speaking into a void, and the amount of times that I said because nobody was there to fill my silence was horrendous. The editing felt so bad. but anyways, Johnny, since you have so graciously come onto the show, why don't you tell us about the BMSW podcast for anybody who does not know about it already?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks again for obviously having me here on the show again, Alex. You guys seriously are one of my favorite Disney podcasts. I listen to you guys every day. Every time a new episode comes out, I'm catching it within the first day or two that it comes out. So we've been podcasting friends since way back. So anytime you guys ask me to come on, I'm always willing to come on and hang out with you guys. And we got some plans in the works. We'll get you guys coming on the DMSW podcast here soon. But my show itself. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're putting an Imagineering super idea here together behind the scenes. So I'll loop you guys in here soon. We'll get you on the books. We'll have my people will call your people. We'll make it happen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. you might actually have people. We don't have people.
No, I definitely, I do not have people. It is literally, that's like one of my podcasting go-to jokes is I'm podcast Batman. Like I have to wait until the whole family goes to sleep. I only operate under the cover of darkness. I honestly think I'm, what did I have? I think this week I had episode 86 come out. I don't think of those 86 episodes, I honestly don't think a single one of them has, like, the microphone's never been turned on during daylight hours. It's only under the cover of darkness. That's the secret.
Hey, that's fair.
It happens at night.
Mine pretty much only sees my lunch hour. So
there you go. Yep. The joys of podcasting. You got to record when the time's available to you. So,
well, so the DMSW podcast, if we were not a weird tirade, what is the DMSW podcast?
Not a problem. So, yeah, so the title there, DMSW, that stands for D for Disney, M for Marvel, SW for Star Wars. So I try to break it up week by week and mix it up, and some weeks we're talking very Disney heavy topics, some weeks we're doing Marvel heavy topics, and then if a new Star Wars movie comes out, when the Ahsoka series came out, we actually ran a little mini series, and we were doing kind of instant review episodes. When the episode would come out, we'd just line up a guest, we'd record late that night and then have it pop out the very next day. So try to stay up to date with any new thing that's coming out, especially on that Marvel and Star Wars side with the different amount of TV shows and movies that they have coming out. So anytime there's new material coming out, we're trying to get the episode lined up to go kind of hand in hand with that. And then on the Disney side, it's more park heavy type stuff and trip planning and all that kind of stuff. Tips and tricks here and there a little bit type of thing. But just a little bit more free flowing on the Disney side, kind of more of a broader span of topics to be able to get into. But yeah, we kind of cover it all. Anything that happens under the Disney umbrella, we cover it. And I'm based up in Boston, Massachusetts. So I try to bring that kind of chip on our shoulder, us against the world, truth and honesty at all turns, whether you want to hear it or not type of thing to the show. So I'm known to have a few rants here and there and a few hot takes on a lot of the episodes. So we don't hold anything back up here in the Northeast on the show. So it's a good time. I love it.
Oh yeah, I will say, and it's a fantastic time to listen to. One, I love your trip recap. I can't recommend enough the recording you did in the park.
That was so fun.
Just a little dash of Disney in there. Just hearing that in the background while you're talking, describing where you're at, and what you've done and everything like that. Absolutely fantastic. I would argue a podcaster's dream in this space is to do a full park one day. So kudos to you for that. because that sounded like a feat.
it was a field trip that day, for sure. A lot of miles put on the microphone that day, but it was a ton of fun. So thanks for shouting that one out. That was a blast.
Oh, yeah. And I'm very, very impressed that you got to security mostly unstopped. For all of it. It seems suspicious. I'm not going to lie.
It's always the weirdest thing when you do something multiple times and nobody has a problem with it. And it's always the last one near the end of the day where you kind of get the eyebrow raise. It's like, really, dude? Like, I've been doing this all day without a single snag. And now you're going to be the one that tries to hold me up here. But they're just doing it. Security is one of those things where I hear people sometimes kind of complain about how long it takes or how kind of messy the Disney system can be at times. That's the one thing that, like, I will never complain about how long security takes. They're there to try to make the park safer. So if it takes you extra long to get through, I'm all for that. So do check as many bags as you can check. Do whatever you're going to do. Just make that park as safe as possible. So at the end of the day, they just want to make sure the mic wasn't something ridiculous. So all good. Check it as many times as you want. Get as many supervisors to sign off on it. It's all good. We pulled it off. We got through all four parks, so it worked out in the end.
Well, it's a fantastic listen, and if you're just looking for a place to just get, like, Disney news, just completely you put the pixie dust where the pixie dust needs to be, and you take it away when you take away. And it's very nice and refreshing, honestly, especially in our state, to have somebody that's willing to have that conversation and voice differences, but still show that it's out of love for the place, not just looking for something to complain about. But I can tell you, when the CEO switch happened, your podcast was up on my phone nearly immediately. Whenever something like huge drops, your news episode is the first one I go to.
That was literally like one of the like craziest nights of this entire podcasting journey. I literally felt like a politician, I just like won my Senate reelection seat or something like that, because the night that happened, because I had been bashing Chapek so aggressively for months and months leading up to it, the night that it happened, it was like everybody that I knew was reaching out and sending me DMs and forwarding me reels that other people were doing, like, he's gone, it worked. I think I ripped off like 7 or 8 reels that night. It was a big night. It was a lot to celebrate.
The Homelander one that you did, where he's watching from the bleachers.
Oh yeah. Me staring him down as Johnny J is Billy Butcher. that's what it feels like at times.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not gonna delay the listeners any longer because we have a pretty awesome topic to talk about. So I'm gonna start this off by kind of explaining my joke a little bit of my title. So in engineering, we define our titles by engineer 1, engineer 2, engineer 3, engineer 4. That's how you determine seniority, and then eventually it turns into like senior engineer and all that kind of stuff. Disney Dad 1 is essentially acknowledging my amateurization in the prospect of Disney Dad 1. And Johnny, with that, I don't know if you knew what I was meaning or if you just went with number 2 or the second one, but you took the seniority, which is very appropriate in this situation. And so we're going to be talking about being a Disney dad and what that means to us, and kind of the things we've both learned during kind of my short journey in it so far, and your longer journey in it, and especially with you and your larger family, me and my smaller family, and just kind of, I don't know, just kind of chit-chatting about it. I think it'll be kind of fun.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah, I can't wait.
So why don't I think a good way to start this would be to kind of, the listeners know kind of what my family situation is. I don't know if you're as familiar with your family situation as like how many kids, how old your kids are, as much information as you're comfortable with.
We have a full deck here. We like to tell people we have a full basketball team plus a sub coming off the bench, because we have a we have six kids all together in total. So I have two boys and four girls. The oldest is Colby. He's a 14-year-old boy. And then we have twin girls, Sydney and Zoe. They're both 12. And then my other son is next. His name is Hunter. He just turned 11 earlier this month. And then Harper is next. She is 6 years old. And then our baby, or as I like to, the two nicknames I give her, one of them being very Disney related, is Stitch from Lilo and Stitch, because she is literally like that scene, like where the arms pop out and it's like kind of shadowy and he's just like screaming. That's literally her. She was all the five older kids that we've had, they were all, as soon as they were born, we were taking them out to the mall or the movies or to restaurants or family parties. Just constant, like, get them out in public and expose them to as much as we could. But with baby number six, she was born March 18th of 2020, like literally a couple of days after, like, literally the entire country shut down. So her first 2 years, she was basically sheltered in place here at the house with all of us, with all the different COVID lockdowns and all that type of stuff. So we can definitely see the difference in the older five being totally fine. And they've always been very polite and kind of known how to like mind your P's and Q's when you're out there in public, out in a restaurant. And our youngest one is just, she's like a Martian. She's just another species altogether. She keeps us on our toes. It's tons of fun. We have tons and tons and tons of laughs with her because she's just so crazy. But she just turned four actually on Monday of this week. So she's finally out of the terrible three. So we're hoping it's like a kind of like a puppy, like maybe like by year four, like all that puppy energy comes out and they start calming down. So we'll see what year four brings. But yeah, that's our crew. We got six all together.
I still cannot. I did not know how you guys did it. Like, hats off to you guys. That is, one, sounds like a happy, wonderful family. And two, sound just so much.
we're basically just, we're herding cattle. We're just herding cattle. Yeah. There's one parent up front and one in the back, and just keep the cows moving in the middle.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, so I guess let's move on to kind of, so how many of your kids have gone with Yes Kids? Have you done a full six kid crew?
Yep. The last six person one we did was in 2022. That was our last big family trip, and yeah, the whole crew went, all six of them.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going through picking my son, just him, and the absolute like. I'm pretty sure I lost a couple of years of my life in the Air Force. I know you guys could drive, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm sure that has like different challenges and benefits. But like, I'm pretty sure my own father saw me age drastically in the span of like 30 minutes.
Definitely. 100%.
I truly can't imagine. So you have your six kids. You guys have all done a trip together. What did it mean to you as somebody, especially with a large family, or I guess just as a dad in general? What does being a Disney dad mean to
you? Being a Disney dad to me, I think it just, it like exposes your kids to just another thing that's out there that maybe not of a lot of other families are getting out to, because the Disney thing, I don't know what you want to label it, Disney adult or whatever, kind of like I said, whatever label you want to put on it, I feel like it's certainly grown. And I don't know if that's just out of COVID, like kind of the revenge travel thing where kind of everybody wanted to get out and go someplace where they knew they were going to get that value and get that magic. But for me, it's just something that you're not going to find anywhere else in life. I grew up, I had family in Ohio. There's a massive amusement park out there called Cedar Point. We went there every single summer, had tons of fun. And up here in New England, we have smaller little amusement park things with the rides, but even just like the rides aside, the way Disney just does everything else, the way they take customer service so seriously, the way they mix in the character meet and greets and all the different ways you can find the magic in the parks. It's just, it's such a better overall vacation experience in my eyes. It's something that I knew I wanted to expose my kids as much as I could to it. And the funny thing is too, is the first trip that we took with our kids was in 2016 when we only had four at the time. And definitely would not have considered myself a big Disney fan at that time. I liked the movies. I had gone to the parks a couple of different times growing up, but it wasn't a hobby for me. It wasn't something that I was researching, thinking about, talking about really. But it was that first trip when we finally went with the kids where it just kind of all clicked into place. And I saw that like movie moment where kind of life goes into slow motion and Mickey was interacting with my daughter. And I just saw that just amazing smile that you just, I mean, you watch your kid smile 100 times for 100 different things and it's all great. But that first time you get that massive Disney smile, it's just, it's something that you'll just never forget. And Disney instantly hooked me in that one moment. They're like, boom, we converted another one right there. If they're watching me on the security camera in that moment. And just, it's literally been from like that exact moment when I saw how excited and how happy interacting with Mickey made my daughter. I was full in from there. And I just knew like, it's like when you buy your kids a toy and you see how happy it makes them, you just want it to happen 100 times over. And that's how I look at the being a Disney dad now is I've seen how magical that smile and that happiness can be for your kids. And I want to do whatever I can to expose them to that as much as possible, because it's good for them. And it's good for us as the parents, just to get to see your kids be that happy and that excited about something.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I 1,000% did. It's kind of funny because where I come from, I mean, we went a lot when I was a kid. My dad would have conferences out in the East Coast, and then we would either meet him out there or travel up with him, and then we would travel down to Disney and we'd either stay. Turns out I got this wrong. We would stay, like, find a cheap property off site, like right off of what was downtown Disney at the time. They used to be yep. these deals where you'd get like for like $90 a night. Like it was insane deals. Yep. My mom would stay up to like 4 a.m. and get like ticket deals and all this stuff. Whatever they could do to like get us to go at least for a couple
yeah.
days.
Yep.
They were going, I'm the youngest. And so I have been going since I was like 2-3 years old and we would go, we'd try to go once a year, once every other year. And so like I grew up as that kid that their parents tried to take them as much as possible. And so when my son was born, that was like his first trip. We're going to Disney, whether it's Disneyland or Disney World, we're going because that I felt that, like that, how much that was to me. And yep. My dad has said how much that was to him, like how much that meant to him. And so the moment, I mean, they already had, like there was no selling me on the experience that I would have done. They were selling my wife is who they were selling. But the moment that I minorly teared up, my son had a interaction with an R2-Z2 droid, was the one I was like, oh, this is happening. Like, there's no way we're coming. He doesn't know what that thing is. He, like, there's no interaction that you've had with that outside of this exact moment. But just that wonder light up in his eyes, and you could see it instantly. And for my wife, that was, we did Disneyland first, and they did the Grizzly River Challenge course.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
And he's a pretty timid kid for the most part. Gets pretty scared of stuff easily, but still like runs off and still a typical boy. But he had learned to walk roughly like a month and a half before we went. And he not even thinking about it, like, had her hands and just tore across, like, the bridges, just laughing and screaming and having, like, the best time. And instantly she was in. Like, she came back from that. She took him there while I was riding her ride with my parents. And she came off of that and was just like, we're going to World End. Like, I don't care how long the flight is, we're going. And perfect. We're going for a trip and a half. And I mean, that's what we're doing. They sold us instantly. And it's really hard to explain that feeling. And like, I've even talked to my dad, and we can barely even explain it to each other. But like, it's all these, like, I think the last trip I was telling my wife, that we went as a couple, we went for our honeymoon, just the two of us. She was pregnant at the time. And it was kind of weird feeling when we left, because I knew after, like, the next time we came back, it would be 1,000% different, not just in how it looked, but how it felt. And it was almost kind of like saying goodbye to the park of my childhood and then saying hello to the park my son would grow up with. And like, this weird change. I don't know. It's just weird and probably not the way it can be a future theme park, but you get it.
Totally.
Most of the people listening get it.
Yeah, it's just like, I think telling somebody that hasn't had kids yet, like, oh, like, and you find out they're pregnant with their first one, you're like, oh, well, just wait until that baby gets here. Like, the first time you see that baby, the first time you hold that baby, it's just going to change your life forever. And until you've been through it, it's just kind of like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, I'm sure it's going to be really emotional. It's going to be great, whatever. But then you go through it, it's like, whoa, like, this is 100 times more intense than I thought it was going to be. And in a weird way, I think the Disney experience with seeing the magic through your kid's eyes that first time, it's a very similar type of thing. Like, you see the commercials, you know, obviously everybody wants to take their kids to Disney, so there's got to be some catch out there that's really cool. But that first time that you get that experience, where you get that moment where your son is running through Grizzly River Run, or like with my daughter and Mickey Mouse, it's just like, something changes inside of you.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I guess another story, I think I probably told this on the Disneyland recap episode, but it's funny enough, it's worth telling again. We did a character breakfast at Goofy's Kitchen in the Disneyland Hotel. And we did not schedule it properly. We scheduled it like right around when he was taking. So he was so upset in the beginning of it, barely ate, and just fell asleep. And so we have pictures of him. We have pictures of him sleeping while they're doing this dance and song in the background, like spinning towels around, and the whole place is like just noise galore. He is dead asleep, mouth hanging open. But he just barely woke up right at the end. And was they gave him a cupcake because we were quote unquote celebrating his birthday. It was still a month or two away, but they gave him a cupcake and he ate his first cupcake. And then Minnie Mouse came around, and you would think that kid just met like a king or a queen of some like major country. He was awestruck and just so enamored with her, and he has been enamored with Minnie Mouse since we have gotten back. Minnie Mouse, awesome. And Donald Duck and Chip and Dale, like all of them, he just absolutely adores them. Whenever we take them to Target, there's a specific Mickey mini plush that he goes and gives a hug and then puts back. And he never asks us to get it for him. He never puts it in the cart. It just, he goes, he gives the mini a hug, and then he goes about his way. And it is
just like in the park.
Funniest little thing, the thing they remember. Yeah, no, I said the funniest thing. What we'll take him this time, and he'll be terrified of all the characters. Because that's how it goes. But
yeah,
like, it's just the funniest thing. How much? I mean, he was only a year. He wasn't even a year when we took him, and just the stuff that has still stuck with him, surprisingly, like the faces he recognized because of that. I mean, it's anytime somebody says like it's not worth it to take them because they're not going to remember. Like, that's always the thing I think of. It's like, he might not remember in the same way we remember, but he remembers, and he experienced it. He changed so much after that, after us going. Just the activity he saw, the things he did, and the things he figured out. I mean, it was incredible to literally watch him like grow up weeks in the span of 3 days. Just absolutely crazy. All right, I'll stop rambling because that was a weird rant.
No, that's all good.
So we kind of talked about what it means to be a Disney dad to us. What would you say? So let's say you got a new Disney dad, or relatively new, like myself, kind of coming into the space. They got trips coming up, or they want to do trips and stuff like that. What would be your biggest advice to somebody who's done it for a couple of years, has a large family, if you have some advice for larger families, just kind of anything that comes to mind of things that you wish you knew, whether it's like mundane travel tips to deep philosophy, if you got that in you.
Sure. So I think like an easy tip I can throw at you or whoever's out there that's trying to think about that is just go with the flow as best you can. And like you said, kind of that last trip that you guys took before you had your son, and then you had that feeling of like, this is my last time coming to the parks in this way. That's very true. That going to Disney with kids is different than going to Disney without kids. And you just got to go into it, I think, with the right mindset, and just go into it thinking, I'm here to suck up as many of these magical, amazing, happy moments I can get from my kids. So try to maximize those opportunities from happening. We all know what our kids' schedules are like at home as far as naps and when their normal eating times are and all that type of thing. As best you can, try to stick to that in the parks, because the more and harder that you're pushing them outside of their comfort zone and their normal routine, the faster they could just have a meltdown. And then before you know it, one of the parents is going to be like, forget it. Let's just go back to the hotel. Like, we can't do this. This is ridiculous. And it can very quickly like throw like a big kind of blotch on your day, whatever you want to call it there. So we went into that first trip with the four kids, and we had planned and I think overplanned, and had all these different, like, we got to get to these rides, we got to do these things at this park. And we kind of fell victim to that. Just at times you were kind of more married to the itinerary than you were to just trying to relax and enjoy it. And oddly enough, the second time that we went was after my wife had been diagnosed and went through a cancer battle. So she had cancer through all of 2017 and battled all of that. And we went in 2018 is when she was kind of going through radiation and chemo, when she got to that kind of lowest of the lowest point, and she was just clearly burnt out, and the radiation, it was absolutely kicking her butt. We were like, okay, you know what? We're going to put a Disney trip on the books, because you are going to beat this. You are going to get past this. There's better days ahead. You're going to bounce back and recover. So like, let's give you this like really big, bright, shining light at the end of the tunnel to kind of focus on and think about. And when that, knock on wood, all that happened, she did beat cancer. She did bounce back. She fully recovered, fully healthy again. And we were able to go on that trip. So when that time came and then we were leaving for that trip, it was completely different from the first time. That first time, like I said, we were focused on, we have this itinerary, we got to get to as many of these things as we can. And that second trip, it was like, whatever, like, we're just so happy that we have her here and that she's healthy. We'll take whatever we get from this trip, whether it's two rides a day, 20 rides a day, the whole time with the kids playing in the pool at the hotel, like whatever they want, and kind of fits with the flow of the day. And it made all the difference. That 2018 trip to this day is still the best ever Disney trip that we've ever had. And obviously part of it was just that humongous emotional factor of knowing that my wife had beaten cancer and she was able to be there on the trip with us and be healthy again. But it definitely pays off when you go into a Disney trip with your kids. Just kind of go with the flow, hit hit the things, the big things that they want to try to hit, but don't get sucked into just living and dying by that checklist or that itinerary. And even if you do less rides or less time in the park, the overall value of what you get out of that trip, I think, will be much, much better if you try to maximize the happiness factor there with your kids.
I can agree with that and more, to be honest. That was something that we definitely, like, we did that first day where we tried to, like, do a ton of stuff. And
yep.
Then we just kind of looked at, like, what we were able to do and how tired everybody was and went, nope, no more. Like, we're not doing that again. We're not tomorrow or, like, whatever happens. We're just gonna do stuff. And thankfully, I was able, we've been blessed by having my parents able to go with us, not just last trip, but this coming up trip as well. And my brother will come to help with some uncle duties as well this trip. We're blessed with the fact that we have an extra pair of hands that can walk them around and give. My wife and I are having a couple of bait nights, which we're really excited about. But
that's great.
Schedule that you think you can hit, especially if you're somebody that is used to going to the parks. And this is kind of a funny thing talking with Noah about, because I don't know if you remember their trip to the cab, but they flew in after a red eye and they hit all four parks before the end of the day on the red eye flight.
He was like on full beast mode that trip.
Oh yeah, he came back more tired than he left, not mentally but physically. That's how they do the park. They just drop the rope closed, and that's how it works. And then you flip to our trip, and it's like, no, we're flying in. We're going to get in at 3:30. We're probably not going to touch a park. And then the next day, we're also not touching a park. We're going to Disney Springs and probably sleeping in. And I think the biggest part of that is every kid is going to be different, and every family is going to be different. And so I think everybody knows their kid best and knows their family best. And so if you're looking and your kid's burning out bad, or if you're just not hitting these things, but your kid's having a good time, drop the phone, drop the itinerary, drop all that stuff. We rode three rides with him total, I think, in 3 days. And the thing he loved the most was the rapids trail. That was the thing that was the highlight of the trip, was the rapids trail. The only quote-unquote ride and experience that he liked was the Astral Orbiter. And I'm still a little scared of that thing. Because, so the Disneyland is very small. And we tried to ride it, all three of us.
Oh, wow.
I was convinced I was going to lose my leg. Because they put in full circulation gone. My butt wasn't actually touching the seat because it could not. I was wet in the air. And my wife's just squeezed in between my legs, which are barely fitting. And there's my son in the front, full hand on the joystick, shaking it up and down, laughing maniacally, under 1 year old. And
perfect.
I've never been more scared of my child than in that exact moment. I was convinced he'd go ahead and find some way to kill us all, but that was the only ride he liked. Like, the entire trip, that was the only ride he liked. And I could not tell you a better way to do that trip than just letting him run around and just touch things and experience things and try food and just all that kind of stuff. None of those experiences at the time mattered at all. I barely remember them even just a year later. And so that's that. I think, just to kind of echo what you're saying, it's like, those are not going to be the things that you remember. It's not going to be that you took them on Jungle Cruise and you took them on Pirates. That's not
exactly
gonna
yep.
It's going to be watching them bump into a character, or just seeing the capsule for the first time. Or I still remember watching him and my wife walk towards the castle when we first came in. Like, that's one of the biggest memories for me. It's like, that's the stuff you remember, and that's the stuff that matters.
Absolutely.
That stuff, that will make the trip. All the other stuff is just fluff. just follow your
thing on that.
Yeah, I think, and we're probably spouting stuff that people already know, but that's okay. Because this is just what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what would say, I kind of got a curveball one for you. So I'm going to give you an unlimited budget. You get your whole family coming. What's your dad's dream trip? Where are you staying? What's your length? Like that kind of stuff. What would be your dream trip if you could take your entire family? Pick them anywhere.
Man, unlimited budget. We could get pretty crazy or pretty dangerous pretty fast. all right, so if we got unlimited budget and we're talking Disney World, we want to do this one?
If you want to go international or creep, you're welcome to.
Ooh, that could be fun. All right, well, unlimited budget then.
If you need to narrow it, you can.
Well, we've done Walt Disney World with our crew 3 times now, and I've been lucky enough once last year and once the year before, I made it out to Disneyland, and we haven't done the full family trip out to Disneyland yet. So, and part of the reason has been just the because like you had mentioned, we typically will drive down to Orlando just because the logistics and the cost of trying to fly with 6 kids. So thinking of that. For California, we already know that's going to be a real budget buster. So with the unlimited budget here, I think we're going to fly first class to California. So we'll have nice, comfy, spread out seats for our entire crew. We'll still try to fly into John Wayne, though, so we can get a little bit closer to the parks. And then I think we have to stay. I don't know, do you stay Grand Californian just because that's the big fancy one on site there? Or I think I might want to try to stay at the Disneyland Hotel and maybe one of those brand new DBC suites that they have out there. Those look pretty sweet, and those are just as close to the action, I think, as the Grand Californian. So we'll stay at the Disneyland Hotel, and honestly, I don't think we'll do like a couple of days. Unlimited budget, so we'll do one solid day in Disneyland and not even worry about the park hopper. Just be able to go slow and kind of take our time, focus on just Disneyland. Then we'll do DCA on the second day, and then maybe we'll take Wednesday as a rest day. We'll sleep in, do some time maybe at Downtown Disney, enjoy the hotel pools. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll come back to the parks and we'll do park hoppers on those days. So we'll have that one day of Disneyland under our belt, one day at DCA. So Thursday and Friday, we'll just kind of focus on all the favorites for the kids and let them kind of each take their turn. Maybe give them an hour or two of the day where it's, all right, Colby, it's Colby's time right now. You lead the way. You pick all the rides that we all go on, that type of thing for those last 2 days, and then we'll definitely enjoy that unlimited budget, and we'll take our first class flight back home too, because this is our one and only chance of doing that, so we'll live it up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it fireworks packages and dining galore, everybody gets Mickey pretzels as much as they want, the whole thing, right? I mean,
absolutely, yep. Yeah, yep. Bubble wand, sure, go ahead, get two of them. One for each hand.
Yeah, that's my parents have a bad spoiling habit. They're gonna. I told my dad about this episode 3 weeks, so I actually got listened to it. I'm probably gonna get a wrist slap for this one. but they have a bad habit of spoiling my son. And I think we were in Downtown Disney for 15 minutes, and they had a bubble wand bought and in his hands before we could even say anything. He Perfect. Sprayed that thing the whole trip, and then we actually got broken on the way home, and so sneakily thrown away. Yeah, it was bad. It was not a good reaction. So that's unfortunately first on our list is a bubble wand when we get there in April, Florida.
We're gonna get one absolutely.
Like, put these guys see it and go nuts. I think unlimited budget. I think we'd probably build a Florida. I think it's probably what we'd do. I have wanted to stay in one of those Polynesian bungalows so
Oh, I was
bad.
thinking that too. I was
And
thinking that too.
I mean, I think dream would be is if we could take Miranda's dad, my parents, my brother, Miranda's uncle, and guess all bungalows and see if we could
Yes.
rent out a chunk of those things. And
That'd be awesome.
then, I mean, every night we got fireworks looking over Magic Kingdom. We just boat ride away, monorail ride away from Epcot. I feel like you can't get better than that. I saw videos of the Poly recently, and it has grown so much higher on my dream stays. They got so much grass and sand over there to just like enjoy and relax.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But I think we'd do that. I think we'd, I don't know. I don't know if we eat much differently than we do now, just because we're kind of one of those, we have the food we like, and it doesn't matter if it's fancy or not, we just go. I mean, I think our favorite restaurant on property is Tsakali Canteen in Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
Like that one's just, it's just solid and good, and it's the only one we hit like multiple times in a trip. So I don't think anything like that would change. I think the only thing that would happen would be some of those like added extras, like the firework
Fireworks cruise.
boat show. Yeah, I heard you were talking about that on your last episode, weren't you?
Yeah, I cannot recommend those enough. The last family trip that we did, we had grandparents and uncles come with us on the trip as well. So we did one of those because I think the boat can hold, it's either 10 or 12 people, and it's only I think it's like $495 or $590 or something. It's not as much as you would think, especially when you think about it over 10 people. Like, I mean, for us with the six kids, it kind of adds up. But if you're like a family of four and you have grandparents and uncles and you split that cost up, it's really not that crazy. And to me, again, a lot of the stuff with Disney, if you think about it, like you just look at the price tag and think, yeah, that's expensive, but the value is just off the charts. We did the Epcot one, and the boat literally goes right into World Showcase and pulls off and like kind of ties off, and you get just perfect uninterrupted view of the dead center where all the fireworks are launching from. It was incredible. So yeah, I would highly recommend adding that, especially
All right,
with
that's great.
on this type
That's
of master trip here.
great. Man, no, we're doing all of those. I didn't know if they'd go right up to the lagoon. That's fantastic. Okay, yeah, that one just reached out of the bucket list. That's like when my son is old enough that he's staying up that late. That's just going to be happening, I think.
Definitely,
I think I can
definitely.
talk my parents into that pretty easily. I had something. Okay. I think a couple more questions, and then I do have a mouse gear for you if you're up for
Oh, cool. All
it.
right. Excellent.
Just a quick little one at the end. So I know that you are not the biggest Genie Plus fan. I think that's an understatement. For the listeners, listen to some of the Grind My Gears episodes. Genie Plus has been a common recurring character in the Grind My Gears episodes. For somebody with kids, whether it's young kids or a large family like you guys have, do you feel like Genie Plus is a absolute must, or do you think you can, is there ways that you can work around it? Because I can't have my feelings on the matter, but I'm interested from your view, somebody who's done the parks multiple times and been a dad in the parks through multiple systems.
Sure. So I think you had kind of mentioned earlier at one point where you said every family is different, every kid is different, and I kind of think of that as the almost the same way. It's not so much that like I can give you like a solid answer that like this can apply to anybody with kids going to Disney type of thing. It if you're a family where all your kids are tall enough and willing to go on all of the rides that are available to them, and that's your favorite part or your main focus of your Disney trips, is like a very ride focused trip. Unfortunately, as much as I hate the system, it kind of is what it is. And if you're trying to maximize the amount of rides that you get on, as much as I hate it, it does do some of that for you. It is going to get you on more rides in less time in lines. And we all know time is money, so time is valuable. You don't want to waste time standing in line for something for an hour where you spend that money and you can GD plus it and only have to wait 5 or 10 minutes. So like I said, if you are a ride focused family and your kids are able to get on all the rides that kind of qualify for those Genie Plus passes, then yeah, it probably, unfortunately, as much as I kind of grit my teeth here to say it, it is worth it to do it. When I've done a couple of one-on-one trips with my kids, and that's been the only time that I've ever put up for it and actually paid for it, because my thought process is like, this is a one-on-one trip just for me and this one kid together. They don't have to fight with their brothers and sisters about what rides next. And no, it's my turn. And no, I don't want to go on that. We have to go on my type of thing. So in the idea of trying to maximize their fun in their trip, I've stepped up and bought it on those trips so that they can get on more rides. So it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the kind of from my end, we have obviously our kid's not riding a bunch of roller coasters and stuff like that. He's not even two.
Yep.
So even he's a tall kid. He actually is only like an inch away from Barnstormer.
Oh wow!
So yeah, he's a big dude. But obviously he's not going on that thing. There's no chance. we typically do Genie Plus. And the main reason is, one, because of our pace, we don't really see the inevitable downside that will let people see if they're either doing the park as adults or with older kids, which is running out of things to book. I know Noah ran into that pretty quickly. We're not moving fast enough to run through them. And so that, I think, is hitting us. So I'm not seeing that at the end of the day. We're riding rides all the way through because
yep.
We only have time to ride three or four anyways. But I think the main reason we get it is because my wife is huge into the rides. Like, she loves the ride. And what Genie Plus kind of lets us do is, with my parents, it makes it so that we can ride together. But when we're separated, we can still knock those things off of the list, and she still gets to do the ride, but she's not feeling like she's missing a ton of time with him. And
yep.
So it kind of lets her get best of both worlds, and me as well, because I have my rides that I love to hit. I mean, I do my every trip homage to Tower of Terror, even though I despise falling rides and they make me sick. There's a level of respect I have to give it. That's kind of how it's been utilized for us since having him. Is it lets us still do the rides, and it also, it's almost more like paying for the convenience of it and the
convenience. Yeah. Choice, yep.
Which is a weird thing to say about like a system trying to get you to ride more rides, but it's like, if I have it, I know I have the flexibility to do these things. If I don't, I don't know I have those things. And so there's like a weird psychological thing with that, which probably means Disney's winning on that front as far as what they've done to my brain chemistry. But yep. Yeah, I think you're 100%. It's different for every family, and it's different. If your kids are perfectly happy playing in the splash pads and walking around Epcot and just enjoying the atmosphere of the park, and you and your partner are the same, there's no reason to get it. Like, there really is. If you don't care about hitting rides, don't get it. It's not a must. If your trip and all your day is based around riding Frozen or getting the safari or something like that, that's where the choice is made of, okay, am I willing to give an hour, or am I willing to give 20 per person? Like, that's the 2028 or 30 if you're in a bad season. I've been watching that price. I'm just like, go down, please go down. As we get closer and closer, spring break will be done by us. I promise you can lower it. Okay, I had one more, but it's slightly. Here it is. So let's say you can go back in time just for a couple minutes to that 2016 trip to when you first, whether it's when you first bought in or before you bought in. What would be the thing that you told past Disney Dad you as current Disney Dad you?
Say it again. The connection lagged there for a second.
No, you're good. What would be the thing that you, as you are now, after all these years of going on trips with your kids and how much Disney has kind of become a part of your life, essentially? What would you go back and tell 2016 you on that trip that you would want them to know?
That I'd want the kids to know? Or myself?
The kids or yourself or whatever you would want, if you want your old you to relay a message or how you can game the system however you want.
I'll try to come up with one for both here for you. So the kids one is actually easier for me because the kids, if I could talk to my kids in 2016, I guess I would have to say, I'm really sorry, guys. Your dad is just going to absolutely fall in love with this place. He's going to start a podcast about it and he's going to talk about it nonstop. So part of me sometimes wonders almost if I'm making it harder for them to like it as much as I like it, because any kid growing up, like, you never want, whether you want to admit it or not, you never want to like everything that your parents like the way that they like it. It's almost like, oh, dad likes this, so I can't like it. So sometimes I wonder if I'm doing that to them in a weird way with the Disney stuff. But I think when I've done the one-on-one trips, it's clear that like they really do like it a lot too. So I think it's kind of one of those, they're just at that age now where it's not cool to like the stuff that dad likes, but in the long run it'll pay off for them, and when they're older, they're gonna be glad we took them as many times as we did.
I'm here. Like,
yeah, there you go.
my dad was obsessed with it, my mom was obsessed with it, and here I am in my garage at 9 o'clock my time recording a podcast about it. So there's hope. There's something.
Yep. And for myself, kind of a funny story now, scary story back then in 2016, I would tell my 2016 self, every time you go somewhere in the park, double and triple check that all your kids are actually in the stroller. Oh. Wink, wink. Don't want to spoil it for you, buddy, but just trust me, you're going to want to check, because one of the days towards the end of that trip, we were going into Hollywood Studios. And again, like I said, at that time, like, we weren't Disney experts. We weren't YouTube watching and podcast listening, that type of stuff yet. So on our Hollywood Studios day, we had posted a picture that we were going. We were like at the rope drop for Hollywood Studios, and somebody my wife knew was texting her like, oh, you have to try to get the older kids into the Jedi Training Academy. It's really awesome. Oh, yeah. And we're like, oh, we don't know anything about it. We don't know how to sign them up or where to go or how to do it. So as soon as we got into the park, we grabbed the BAP, and then that really like nice water fountain is where the road breaks off for Hollywood Boulevard there. We stopped at that water fountain, and we had four kids with us. So we had two double strollers. So we put the strollers right up against the fountain, and my wife's looking at one map, I'm looking at the other map. She's on her phone trying to like look to where you go to register the kids for the Jedi thing. And the kids, unknowingly to us, kind of had all hopped out, and we're walking around the fountain and looking at the fountain. And my youngest at the time, let's see, 2016. So quick math here. He was three at the time. No, he was four. He had just turned four. So we kind of figure out, like, get our bearings, like, okay, we know where we need to go to check in. All right, let's go. We grab the strollers, head over, like leave the fountain, and it's the check-in area used to be kind of, if you go up the hill past the lake with the dinosaur in it, and when you get to Indiana Jones, you bang a left and kind of like go around the back part behind the restaurants there, and that's where they had the little kind of setup area for the Jedi thing to sign up. And as we're kind of pulling up, we're like getting that habit of like finding a nice spot in the shade, put the locks on the brakes. All right, kids, all hop out. And we're like, 1, 2, 3. I thought Hunter was in your stroller. No, I thought Hunter was in your stroller. And just all the like parent panic that you could ever feel just washes over you. And again, like movie moment, like time slowed down. And I was walking, trying to backtrack my steps through the park where we had come from, just screaming at the top of my lungs for Hunter, Hunter. And as I got up to where the fountain was, there was a cast member on her knees, like hands on his shoulders, and he's crying and I don't know where my dad is. And oh my God, it was probably only 45 seconds, but it felt like 45 minutes of just pure terror. Am I ever going to see my son again? Did somebody steal him? Did he walk out? What's going to happen? And then you finally see him there in front of you, and thank goodness it all worked out in the end. So again, now we can laugh about it and kind of like tease him like that he never stays in the stroller. Every time we go back to the parks now, we pass that fountain, we go, oh, there's Hunter's fountain. Hunter, don't go looking at that fountain. Don't get distracted by that fountain. So yeah, that's the one tip I'd give myself. Don't lose your son. It might be a fun story to tell years later, but in the moment, you're going to want to feel like you're literally swallowing your heart. So
yeah, that's a few years saved off of the end, yeah, of that lifespan right there, for sure. Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, I feel my hair graying just hearing you talk about it. My parents, they would put these wristbands on us that have like all their phone numbers on it. I don't remember this. Apparently, we were both, or at least I was leased. I had a backpack leased. and I've heard stories about me as a child. It's fair. We're currently working on my son right now with just vice grip holding hands and stuff like that, because we've attempted the backpack leech and it has gone poorly is a nice way of saying it. And right now, yeah, we're trying to figure out the best way, because just going catatonic on the floor, refusing to move because the backpack's on us, is also not good on Main Street USA. Yeah. Just like running off into the distance is not good. So, yep. I told my wife, it's like, he's probably not going on the ground until we're in an area that I feel comfortable. And like, I will talk to you later. Like, I will be walking with him wherever he goes. Yeah. there is no ifs, ands, or buts on that, because I am terrified of that. I don't have much to, because it's me telling myself a year from now or a year ago what to say, so I'm not exactly sure what I tell myself a year ago. Maybe say that you conned your wife into going on more Disney trips, so congrats.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. But yeah, no, I like that. I think that is something every parent can relate to, that horrible fear, especially, I mean, at Disney Park, especially, like, it is so many people and so big, and especially if you're not familiar with the place, you feel lost and you're trying to find your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I can't imagine. There was somebody when we were there, literally same situation. We were sitting down eating and the mom's running, yelling for a kid. Microphone, sorry, listening. The cast member stopped her and kind of talked her down, made sure, because she was freaking, like, and justifiably so. Eventually, like, they saw the kid was in Tomorrowland. I think he was playing with the ball, the like water ball, and the cast member found him and brought him down to Main Street, and everybody was found, and everybody's good. And they're so good about that. Like, if something like that happens, Disney's a great place to be in, because they are constantly looking for situations like that and
yep. will
solve it so quickly. But still just like the worst, it's the worst thing. And it's something like that's going to happen at some point. I know it is. Everybody's human, but
yeah.
Oh, I'm not ready.
Yeah. That's one of those parenting checklist things. You lose your kid at the store or the supermarket or a baseball game or so. It happens to everybody at some point along the line. So like you said, if it's going to happen somewhere, yeah. Disney's a pretty safe place for it to happen. So we're glad we got that checked off the list and don't have to worry about it anymore.
I'm convinced one of those things, at least for dads, is an accidental hit to the head that is completely your fault and completely avoidable, but you feel horrible about. Is that yep. is that just an across the board experience, or is that just me and my pocket?
Yeah, it's either a bonk on the head or fall and split your chin open. That's those are mm-hmm. the two that go kind of hand in hand. So it's always one of those two with everybody.
Oh yeah, no, I had mine on the plane flight going on our Disneyland trip. It was like 5 a.m. I'm trying, like I said, blood pressure's like up to here. I'm holding my hand above my head. Just horrible morning. We get there. Alaska is just instigated that morning. They were no longer doing paper tickets. And so everybody's like flooding the thing and just upset. And
that
they were flooding security without the stuff that they needed. And then on top of that, TSA decided that that was the day that they needed to do their training analysis. And so the TSA line took us 2.5 hours to get through.
Whoa.
We had enough time to get a coffee for my wife and parents, and then walk up to our boarding group and walk on the plane. Like, it was,
oh my goodness.
Go. There was no sit, there was no nothing. And so we get onto the plane. I got my son in my left hand, and I got our carry-on on my right. And my wife is trying to tell me to give her the bag. I'm like, no, you have other bags. I got it. And I one hand hoist my carry-on up and smack my son straight in the head with the wheel. And he immediately just put it down, cradle him, and sit down in the seat. Just, oh, I felt horrible. It was a horrible start to the trip. I'm not going to lie. I felt so bad. And he was fine. It gave him 30 seconds. He was good. He had a bump on his noggin, obviously.
Yeah.
Carry on suitcase, but I don't worry. I think about that at least once a month, if not once.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yep. I was like, if I'm holding him on the plane flight, you got the bag. You and my parents have to sit down. I'm not doing that yet. So I guess that's another piece of advice to any traveling dads. It's you're the one to
get help with the bags.
Yeah, you're the one that's going to hit the kid in the head for whatever reason. It seems like it's just guys.
Unavoidable.
That do that. I don't know if we're just dumber or what it is, but you're going to be the one that does it, so don't touch the suitcases if you have to hit. All right, so I'm looking at our time, and I'm looking at what time it is at your place, and so we're going to finish this off with a real quick mouse beard. I won't make you do the weird thing that no one I do afterwards. but the music did play. And then I'm going to let you go to sleep. So,
all right.
The mouse beard that we're going to do, and I check, I'm pretty sure it's one that no one I have not done yet, is the Seven Dwarves Mind Trick. And so, since it's been a little bit, since we've done like a short one of these, essentially what mouse beards are here on Main Street Net Youth is you get a ride and your idea or your goal is to either refresh it and give it a kind of a facelift but keep it the same, or you get like a slight tweak, or you're just fully redo. And you just kind of give a short blurb on what you, if you're going to refresh it, how you're refreshing it, or if you're redoing it, how are you redoing it. Not really any limits. You can use IP, you can use non-IP, whatever you want to do. And while you're thinking, I'll kind of give just a quick refresh of what the ride is for anybody who's not super familiar. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, for the listener, is a roller coaster that essentially involves kind of a series of mine carts that the gimmick that Disney put into this was that they rock on an axis as they're going around around the roller coaster track. To be honest, it's low-key not a precursor to Guardians, but kind of where they started with that idea of introducing another axis of motion to a roller coaster. And the theming of it is it's the seven dwarfs, Snow White, Pale. And so you're going through the mines, you're starting out in, I think you start out in like one of their mining tunnels, and then you go through, there's animatronics that have the back face projection that they do for some of the animatronics. You kind of go through a scene where they do that, and then at the end you end with Snow White, a scene with Snow White dancing with them inside their house. Real quick little ride, really smooth roller coaster, really smooth. And super popular in Magic Kingdom in the new Fantasyland area. I don't think there's anything else I can add to it. You got an idea, Johnny?
Trying to think. It's such a newer one that it's kind of hard to think on the spot here of a way to improve upon it. What are you thinking? Should we go with just a different IP swap on it? Should we keep it Snow White and try to think of how to improve it, or do we go just totally crazy, go outside the box?
I had kind of an idea going crazy outside, not crazy crazy outside of the box, but I've not always been the biggest fan of Snow White Seven Dwarfs, I'll be honest. A little too smooth to me, and this is somebody who
for a mind train, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
You think Mine Train, you think kind of clunky, clickety-clackety, and it's pretty smooth.
You think Thunder Mountain, to be honest. Like, you think a little bit of Whiplash. Like, it hurts just enough that you... Like, if you had a bad neck, you would think about maybe not right. Like, that's I feel like, the range you should be in. So it's never been super high on my list, and usually one that if it doesn't match up, I don't put it on the trip kind of deal. But I also, I feel the theming wise, it could do a little better than Snow White. I don't know about you. Not that Snow White's bad. I think it could do. So I'll kind of say what my idea was. Turning it from Seven Dwarves Mine Train into almost like kind of like the storybook, river that they have in Disneyland, where they go through
Hitting a bunch of different movies. Yep,
it would be kind of cool to hit a bunch of those old classic movies, especially it being in new Fantasyland. In like going through scenes of Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella, and kind of hitting those old classic movies that are kind of not showing up in Disney parks just as much.
Yep.
I'm not thinking anything crazy. I'm thinking like little environmental scenes that you would recognize, but you can still go through fast because it's still a roller coaster. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I like that idea there, and I think that we could kind of play with the ride vehicle to go kind of hand in hand with that too. Whether that's do you do something like around Sorcerer Mickey and you make kind of Sorcerer Mickey explaining something to us in the queue and what the ride vehicle is going to be, and us getting on the ride vehicle is taking us through the different things in a certain way. Do we do like a, I don't know, do you do like a more of a more just kind of animation in general focus thing and make it look like, I don't know if it would be on like individual like painter's palettes or a paintbrush car or something like that or whatever, but yeah, something more like kind of animated focus to kind of go hand in hand with why you'd be skipping from different movie to movie on the actual ride. That'd be cool.
I always love when I think Universal does this on a couple of their roller coasters, and Disney does a couple on there, when you bank a corner and it does like open up into like a whole new area. Like they treated a corner and a square.
Yeah, it's like a change.
Yeah, it's very jarring to the brain in a very like satisfying way. It would be really cool if the Sorcerer Mickey thing got me thinking, if you incorporate a little bit of what they've done with Guardians with the rotation, and they put you in instead of like mine carts, they put you in water pails. Like they have the moths carrying around. You're in one of those instead, and so it can rotate as you're going around and like look at scenes and stuff like that. That would be pretty slick.
Do we make it user controlled? Do you put like the mop in the mop bucket with you, and like you holding the mop kind of controls? So it's kind of like Guardians where it can rotate, but you actually take it to like the next level and you give the rider the ability to move. You can, and maybe that gets them to want to ride the ride multiple times. Maybe some of the sections where you put like Tangled stuff on the left side and Moana stuff on the right side. So you're going to want to ride it multiple times so you can control it to the left and do it. View it one way and then get back on the ride, turn it and go the other way and try it the other way.
That would be awesome. That would be really cool. I mean, you could even section it up by eras and have you kind of end in the new era and slowly kind of work your way. I mean, as it needs to be updated, things can kind of get moved back or out or condensed and reselected. That would be, I love the idea of it being able to move it back and forth yourself. You could even just kind of put a little thing on the chest, like that controls it, so that people aren't like leaning forward. And it, I'm thinking like a safety, so that if somebody gets motion sick, if they don't move their thing.
Like, oh right, yep.
Move, so like both people have to move to the left, or both people have to move to the right, and then that way, if one person's like absolutely not, we are staring straight. It gives option to a single rider, and it not be just somebody that's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
No, I love that. That sounds so cool. All right, that sounds pretty neat to me.
Yeah, I like it.
That kind of full episode master level of uniqueness. That was kind of fun. Okay. Usually we just kind of do a Soarin', but it's up kind of deal. So that was a little unexpected. All right, I love that though. That's awesome. Well, cool. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about being a Disney dad, and especially your situation with how you came to fall in love with Disney and your solo trip for your kids and your big trip with your kids. I can't wait to hear more of those trips as the year go on. As much as we love your solo trips, your solo episode with your daughter, which is still absolutely adorable and one of the funnest listens that I've had in a while.
Awesome.
So again,
awesome.
keep recommending episodes, but listeners, you just have to check out the show because it's quite a special program that Johnny puts on.
Awesome. Well, I'll have another one coming up for you soon. We just booked April 29th to May 2nd. I'm going back to Walt Disney World with, last time I went with Sydney, her twin sister is Zoe. So Sydney got to go last year. It's Zoe's turn this year. So I'll be with Sydney's twin sister here in just a few weeks. And then she'll come on the show and do a trip review for her trip. So, well, that'll be coming up soon. Yeah. Yep.
I absolutely cannot wait. Well, do you want to just give a quick plug to the show again? Where can they find you on social media? If you got anything else you want to plug?
Sure. Yeah. So the best spot to get a hold of me is through Instagram. That's the social media platform I use the most. Shoot me a DM. Always happy to talk to anybody that reaches out and wants to talk anything Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, or whatever. So yeah, shoot me a DM and connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at the DMSW podcast. If you just prefer to do email, the DMSW podcast at gmail.com. And as far as the show goes, you can find it in any of your podcasting apps of choice that are out there right now, Apple, Spotify, or any of the others. Just most of the time you can literally just type DMSW and it'll pop up for you.
All right, awesome. And absolutely give that a listen, give it a review. All of that stuff is 1,000,000% fair. This is a fantastic show and should absolutely be on your Disney podcast list. So I cannot recommend Johnny enough. And if you are a podcaster and you're looking for somebody to help bring you into the podcast community, Johnny has been honestly one of our biggest champions of our show, and like allowing us to being in on stuff like podcasts like The Magic and stuff like that, and the Discord that him and Hannah put together, and all these other things that they've done to kind of grow this have just been incredible. And so if you are somebody in the Disney space that's like podcaster or a content creator, absolutely hit him up as well, because he is a fantastic resource to get started and just becoming part of a bigger community. A lot of the guests you've heard on the show, we met because of John. And so it shows
teamwork that, makes the dream work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know the line.
I've used it many times since we started talking. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a magical rest of your weekend, a magical rest of your week, and we will see you next time.